short time, then I speak long. So it is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. It's really been wonderful to see Brother Chuck and Sister Kathy and Keith on Wednesday and on today. We need to pray for traveling grace for them. Are you going back, what, tomorrow? So pray for them with the Memorial Day weekend. And they'll be traveling back. I'm sure the road is going to be packed tomorrow. So just remember them in prayers. They're traveling back, back down to Mississippi. Amen. This afternoon, we're going to kind of continue on with where Brother Chuck started out and Brother Leroy went. We're going to be talking about Jesus Christ and how good He is to us. We're going to be looking at four things this afternoon. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. And Jesus, many times when He healed people, forgave them of their sins. And lastly, we're going to go, there is healing in Jesus' name. So, in the first area where we're looking at today, it doesn't matter who we are. We're going to look at three people in the Bible that with Jesus, it didn't matter who they were. Because let's face it, if we look at it, if it mattered who we were, Jesus wouldn't have saved none of us. Because we're all, through the fall of Adam, we're all sinners. And I was, as Brother Leroy was speaking, I was some of the things he was talking about in the book of Romans, there's none good. There's no, not one. So if there's no good, if there's none good and there's no, not one, that if it mattered who we were, there would be none of us would be any good. We're all sinners and we've come short of the glory of God. But we're going to look at three people, and I mean, there's other examples of it in the Bible, but we're going to just look at three people today. First one we're going to look at is Mary Magdalene, and we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. In verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And she had went to tell them what? That she had seen Jesus. Now, it's recorded here that He had what? Cast seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. Now, we can see that the one man out of the tombs that had all those devils with him, how ferocious and how he was and how he treated people and everything. So we can see Mary Magdalene, she had seven devils. Now, it would have been easy for Jesus to sit there and said, I don't want to have nothing to do with this woman. But if we look upon it, He could have said that to each and every one of us. I don't want to be bothered with them. You know, they're sinners. They're a rotten person. As we were talking about, Brother Leroy, we were talking about with my wrist. And he had sat there and he had jumping garages and sat there. You know, Jesus could have sat there and looked at Brother Leroy back then and sat there and said, well, that's one crazy guy. I don't know if I want anything to do with this guy. He's crazy enough to try to jump from garage to garage and garage. It's like we were saying, he ain't got no sense at all. But see, Jesus doesn't look at us that way. And is what this theme that we have here is that what? He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And before that foundation of the world, He sat there and He had chosen Mary Magdalene. Even though, if you would look at her life and the way she was probably living it, she was probably not worthy of it. But if we look at it, none of us are worthy of that grace of God, that wonderful saving grace that He bestows upon each and every one of us. As we're talking about that regeneration. Now, Mary Magdalene didn't know it. None of us knew it. But if your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are a child of God, as Brother Leroy brought up. You are one of His children. Now, it's going to happen at a certain point in your life. Some sooner, some later. But you know what? For everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that day is going to come in your life. That day is going to come in your life. You're a child of God. And here was Mary Magdalene. She had seven devils in her. Now, you would probably sit there and look at that and say, she was one probably crazy woman. She was one crazy woman. But remember, one of the things that I think is a theme throughout the Scriptures is don't look on the outward appearance, look on the inner man. Look upon that inner man. See, if we would look in our outward appearance, all of us have probably done some things in our lifetime that we sit there and realize we never should have done. And there's times when we sit there and say in our lives that, you know, I don't know why God smiled down upon me. Because I believe that's what He does. He smiles down upon us. And we look up and we say, you know, sometimes we ask, why? You know, but we are thankful that He did smile down upon us and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to see just a little bit more of Mary Magdalene. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto Him of their substance. So we see one more example of Mary Magdalene, and here it is the same thing. That people and certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And he singles out 3 of them here, but the first one is Mary Magdalene. And we have that witness again that He cast out 7 devils. You know what? You know, a lot of people sit there and say, you know, put maybe the Primitive Baptist down a little bit because we don't allow women to be elders in the church or to hold an office in the church. But I don't think any of us have ever said that women are not important in the church. Now, I'm saying you ain't going to hear it from me because women are important. If we look back at this, here were these women. You know, they said that the 12 went with them, and then He starts talking about the women that were accompanying Jesus Christ in His ministry. So, you know, women were an important part of the church back then. I think women are an important part of the church even today, and we cannot discount that fact at all. If we look at Jesus' crucifixion, who were the first ones to went to the tomb to anoint His body? It wasn't His apostles, were they? It was these same women that they're talking about right here. These were the people that went, the first ones to go and anoint Jesus' body after His burial. There were women, not His disciples. What were His disciples doing? They were just sitting there, back there at somebody's house probably, and just going, oh man, it's just terrible. You know, we don't know what to do. But as we sit there and say, who is the ones that sometimes take the bull by the... It's the women. The women sat there and said, we know what to do. We're going to go and anoint the body. So you know what? When Jesus sat there and picked somebody like Mary Magdalene and sat there and cast out them 7 devils, you know what? He knew what He was doing. You know, Jesus knew. He did everything for a reason and a purpose. And here is one of them that He sat there and He said, you know what? I know I'm going to do this. And Mary was one of the first ones at the tomb. At the tomb. So we can see that Jesus knew what He's doing. See, it didn't care. It didn't matter to Him anything about what Mary Magdalene, who she was or what she was. But what Leroy said, what did you say, Brother Leroy? My sheep hear My voice. My sheep hear My voice. And when Mary Magdalene heard that voice, she knew it was someone that she wanted to continue to follow. And when we hear that voice, isn't that a voice we want to continue to follow? All the days of our life. We don't ever want to leave it. It doesn't matter where we are. We're up here in Crown Point. We're down near Ripley, Mississippi. It doesn't matter. Once we hear that voice, we want to follow that voice. All the days of our lives. When Brother Chuck was talking about his grandfather, all the days of his life, and the first time he did it, until when he was 100 years old, he continued to follow that voice. And will continue to follow that voice too. Second person we're going to look at is the woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears. We're going to find that in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start reading at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. We're going to stop there for a little bit. So we can see, here was this woman. She was a sinner. So how was she any different than us? She was a sinner. But she heard that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house. And she had a box, alabaster box of ointment. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with her tears. What a testimony to Jesus Christ. What a testimony that she had heard about him, knew he was there. She was there weeping. Weeping, probably knowing who she was and who he was. And weeping for what she knew. Began to wash his feet with the tears and had wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed him. Well, we can see, here's this Pharisee. He's looking on that outward appearance, isn't he? She's a sinner. She's a sinner. Now this woman, I believe, knew who Jesus was. But this Pharisee had no idea of who it was that was in his house. Because look at him, he sat there and he spake within himself, and Jesus knew what he was thinking. But he says, this man, look at what this guy said here, if he were a prophet. So even he didn't know who he was. He only figured he was just a prophet. He would have known who this woman was. Who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let's continue on. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. So we can see, he kind of talks to this man and sits there and he tells him, Look, he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I came into your house, you didn't give me no water to wash my feet. Now here's this woman that was a sinner. Simon said, you know, you shouldn't even be letting this woman touch you, let alone wash your feet. But he says, you know what? This woman has sat there and washed my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss. This woman has kissed my feet. You didn't give me no oil to anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. But look at what he says. Wherefore I send her unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. See, it didn't matter to Jesus who she was, what she had done. She came there, got down on her hands and knees, humbled herself, and did these things. He says, didn't matter to Jesus. He said what? Her sins are forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. And then he looked unto the woman and said, thy sins are forgiven. And everybody was in there like, who is this guy? Who does this guy think he is? That he is sitting there and telling this woman that her sins are forgiven. He doesn't have that right. He can't do that. See, when your eyes are blind, you cannot see. That's what you're talking about, Brother Leroy. When your eyes are blind, you cannot see those spiritual things. The things that he was doing unto her were spiritual, telling her that her sins were forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. But look what he said unto the woman. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. See, her faith, because she believed in who he was, knowing who he was, that he was Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm sure she went on from that point forward, living her life, loving the brethren. We know we have passed from what? Death unto life when we love the brethren. How much more love can you have when you sit there and get down and wash the feet of the saints? We're going to be doing Lord's Supper and feet washing next Sunday. What do? We're humbling ourselves as Jesus humbled himself when he sat there and washed the apostles' feet. And when we're doing that, we're showing our humbleness and our love for the brothers and for the sisters also, as they do it also. That our love for them, we know we have passed on death unto life when we love the brethren. This woman was showing love unto Jesus Christ. The third person we're going to look at, it didn't matter who he was. We're going to go into the book of Matthew and we're going to look at Matthew. Chapter 9 of Matthew. Verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So we can see, as Jesus was going, walking around, and he passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. He was a publican. Now, if you know your history, you know that publicans or the tax collectors were not very well liked in Israel, because they were corrupt and they would always try to get more out of you. And why were they trying to get more out of the people? Because, like a lot of corrupt people, they would sit there and they would give so much to the Roman governor, but what would they do with that extra? They'd sit there and put that in their pocket and sit there and say, okay. So they were enlarging their pockets a little bit with money. And so the Israelites, they didn't like this because they knew what was going on, but they couldn't really do anything about it. So they were hated. They were hated so much that we can see the Pharisees, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So they grouped publicans in with the sinners because they didn't like them a whole lot. But you know what? It didn't matter to Jesus who he was. We can see that he was the writer of the first book in the New Testament. So it didn't matter what he was. Because look at, Jesus boils it all down to with all three of these people. He sits there and he says, what? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. So these that were sick with sin were the ones that Jesus came to heal. The ones that were whole were the people like these Pharisees who saw no need of repenting from their sins because they held that it was their own righteousness that was going to help them. Not realizing how miserable that they really were. These Pharisees were the ones that are whole, that had no need of a physician. Who is the physician? Jesus Christ. He is that physician. He is the only cure for us. We cannot cure ourselves. We could not get ourselves out of the state and condition that we were in. There is one right, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seek good. But there's one that can get us through all of that. Secondly, this afternoon, we're going to look at it doesn't matter what we have done. The first place we're going to look is in the book of John, chapter 8. We're going to see the woman taken in adultery. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came down unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Jesus said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here was a woman taken in the act of adultery. Now we know that they were trying to tempt him. They wanted to catch him in his words because they wanted to accuse him. Because they were getting a little tired of Jesus, I believe. He was kind of a little bothersome kind of person, wasn't he? A lot of people were probably starting to believe in him. And you know what? These Pharisees, boy, they sure didn't like it, did they? Because again, a lot of these people were coming in to the temple and they were giving him money. And so a lot of these Pharisees and some of these people, they were making pretty good money and a pretty good living off of these people coming into the temple, and they didn't like it. That a lot of them were listening to him, because we can see, where was he at? He was at the temple early in the morning, and he was what? He was teaching the people. Teaching the people. They probably didn't like this. I mean, here was carpenter's son. You know, never had really any schooling or anything. You know, who is this guy that he's teaching the people? So they brought this woman and said, we've taken her in adultery. And now they're going to sit there and they're going to tell Jesus about the law. It's kind of funny, isn't it, really? Yeah, we're going to teach you now. Now Moses in the law commanded us that this individual should be stoned. But what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? And they were tempting him. But Jesus, he just stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear him. And they continued to press him. I'm sure it was, you know, they're like, Well, come on, what do you say? You know, we want to hear, you know, come on. Why are you wasting our time? Tell us. And Jesus sat there and said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." What a wonderful way to answer. You know, here are these people, they were all caught up in what? These Pharisees were caught up in their own what? Their own self-righteousness. That's what they were. And now they're sitting there. Jesus says, "The first one to cast a stone at her, go ahead. He that is without sin, cast a stone." Look at what he did again. He stooped down on the ground. He stooped down and continued to write on the ground. And when they all heard it, what? One by one, they just walked away. They walked away, each and every one of them. They were what? Being convicted by their own conscience. Because they knew that they had set this all up. They knew they had set it all up to tempt Jesus. And if finally they realized what Jesus taught them, they realized that what they did was wrong. They knew what they did was wrong. Even though what this woman did was wrong too. And finally what? There was Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus, he lifted up himself and he looked around. He didn't see anybody there. So he asked the woman, "Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What a wonderful thing to have Jesus say unto you. "I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Who is he that condemneth? No man can condemn us. Go and sin no more. You know, that's what I think Jesus tells us too. You know? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And look at in verse 12. Jesus spake unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." See, he is the light of the world. He is the light that has come into our life. Because you know what? We were in darkness. As Brother Leroy talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. We were in darkness. And he brings us out of that marvelous light. See, we're no different than this woman here. She was a sinner. We were sinners. We're still our sinners. I shouldn't say we were. We are sinners. We are sinners. Sinners saved by the grace of God. See, we're no different than this woman. It didn't matter to Jesus what she had done. Now, when I was younger, I did some things that got me in a whole lot of trouble. And if you would look back on the early part of my life, you would sit there and say, "Ain't no way. Ain't no way Jesus would ever love anybody like that." And I know some of us have done some things too. And we consider, why would Jesus, or how, not why, how could he love somebody like me? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. When I was talking with Brother Buzz a little bit before church, and I sat there, and I know you've probably heard me say before, I'm going to say it again, but when I was in the Lutheran religion, it was like, I thought this is a pretty good setup here. I thought, man, this is ideal. You know, how could you ask for anything better than this? You know, you go to church, pastor gets up there, and you know, you just say the things back and forth a little bit, you know, and you know, it's kind of like, oh, your sins are forgiven. So I think this is a pretty good racket here, you know. I can sit there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I can go do what I want. I come into church on Sunday. I get my sins forgiven. I go live my life any way I want to the rest of the week. I thought this is a pretty good racket. I like this, you know. Maybe this religion isn't such a bad thing, you know. But then, you know what? when God does enter into your heart in a regeneration, you find out, boy, was I really wrong. I was really wrong, boy. You don't want to do that no longer. See, that's what people think when they talk about free grace, is that, well, if you're saved and you're a child of God, then it doesn't matter how you live. Well, then you know that you're talking to somebody who is still blind because he doesn't understand it. That person is still blind and he's yet in his sins. Yet in his sins. Second person I'd like to talk about is the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. We're going to go into the book of Mark chapter 5. I know I'm going through a lot of scripture. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, and rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now we see this woman, she was not believing or trusting in Jesus Christ. Because she had the issue of blood. And she went to doctors, and she had spent all her money to try to heal herself. But she had not gotten better, she had gotten worse. And we, if we sit there and don't have faith in Jesus Christ and think that we can do it, we're no much better than this woman. We're not going to get better. We're going to get worse. Because we're sitting there and saying, I can do it all. I can do it. I can take care of it. I can go to the doctors. The doctors can do it. Everything else. And she had thought that same thing. But I believe that we get to that point where we realize when we can't turn to nothing else, it seems like we have lost all hope of hope. That the one who is filled with all hope enters into our minds. And is with this woman. Kind of like with the woman that washed the feet of Jesus. She had heard that Jesus was there and went. And this woman, she heard when she had heard of Jesus. And she came in the press and touched his garment. But look at what she said. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, whereas she had no faith before, now she had faith. She had faith. Because it wasn't that she said, you know what, I'm going to go touch the hem of his garment. I'm just gonna touch it. It's like if he had like my jacket here. You know, I'm just gonna go touch that. She didn't say that if I just touch that, there might be a possibility I can be healed. It's kind of like Brother Leroy. You sit there and you talk about the woman that had the big tree in her yard or whatever, something like that. And she sat there and she said, "Well, I'm gonna pray that Jesus will take that tree away or whatever." Or God will take that tree away. And she sat there and prayed that night. And she got up the next morning and said, I knew it would still be there. So it's your unbelief. But this woman came up and touched it and said, you know what? If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And it was just like that. Immediately, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately felt that virtue had went out of him. And he turned about and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And here we go again. The disciples are probably like, "What is he talking about? You know, what does he mean? Who touched him?" You know, everybody's just thronging about him, wanting to touch Jesus and everything. And you're asking, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. See, Jesus knows everything. Remember, it's God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. He knew who this woman was. Because again, my sheep hear my voice. She couldn't have been healed if she didn't believe in Jesus Christ and who he was. Now the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and knelt down before him and told him all the truth. Now isn't that showing that she was a child of God? She just fell down and told him all the truth. Now look at what Jesus said unto her. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." What a wonderful thing. Faith. Having faith. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. That He is the Son of God. The last person we're going to look at, and it doesn't matter what we've done, is the Apostle Paul. Let's look in the book of Acts. We're going to start out in chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. If you go back, we'll look a little bit into the end of chapter 7, because we can see that what had happened is Stephen has just been stoned. In the beginning of chapter 8, it says, "And Saul," who is Paul, "was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So we can see now, here's Paul. He was consenting unto the death of Stephen, who was a devout man. And look, there was a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, which was led by Paul. And all the believers were scattered all around Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. See, it was Paul who was the one that caused all of these people to be scattered all abroad, because they knew what Paul was doing. And they didn't want to get thrown into prison. But in verse 3 it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and taking men and women out of the house and committed them to prison," put them into prison. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So now, because of Paul, anybody that was preaching the gospel, there was a possibility that they could be caught by Paul and sat there and put into prison. And we know there was a lot of them had lost their lives because of that. Lost their lives because of they were willing to sit there and preach and teach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now there comes a time in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read some verses in there, and in verse 1 it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now we can see that he's breathing out threatenings and he's slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. "Went unto the high priest," and he says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So we can see it didn't matter to Paul if they were men or women. If they were of the way, that way, believing in Jesus Christ, that he was to bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So we can see, it didn't matter to Jesus. Now here was somebody who was actually persecuting people for believing in Him, believing in Jesus. Now, people would sit there and say, well, that was kind of crazy. But Jesus knew what He was exactly doing. What better way to show people about who He was, and that He was that Savior of the world, by sitting there and taking somebody such as Saul, who was going to be called Paul, and saying, you know what? I'm going to choose him as a vessel to go into the Gentiles and to preach the Word. And to preach it. And sit there and say, you know what? I am now going to sit there. Look at Paul. What did he sit there and say? Paul sat there and said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he had a new life given to him by Jesus Christ. And we have that same thing given unto us. And we can say, as Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because we're living a new life. And you can see that in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Just read chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you can sit there and see that the way you were before and the way you are now. And is that because of anything that we have done? No. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done at any time in our lives. And we can see that, you know, there's many times that Jesus has said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And many times the people sat there and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and they're all like, who is this? Who is this that can forgive sins? But we can sit there and we know who it is that forgives sins. It's Jesus that forgives sins. But they didn't know that. They couldn't see it. What is the difference between us and them? We are alive spiritually because of that new birth. And it's totally passive on our part, isn't it, Brother Chuck? The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell from whence it come or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know. He doesn't ask you and sit there and say, can I come into your heart? No. Because He's chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world, He is going to enter into your heart. And He doesn't have to ask your permission to do it. Because He's Jesus Christ. He can do it. He can do it. And He did do it. And He'll continue to do it. In closing, we're going to look at, there is healing in Jesus' name. There is healing. As I said, He's the only one that is the cure for a sin-sick soul. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Basically, this is where we were at before. With Matthew. Verses 11 through 13. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So he didn't come here to call the righteous to repentance, because the righteous sat there and saw no need of repenting of their sins because they didn't believe that they were sinning. As the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those different groups such as that, they didn't see no need for that. But if you are sick, you need the great physician. And as we are sinners, we have need of that physician. Because He's the only cure for us. He's the only one that can cure us of that. As we've seen so many of these, who is this that can forgive sins? It's Jesus that forgives us of our sins. And nobody else. Let's turn to that chapter 2 of Ephesians. In closing, we're going to look at that. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I missed some scripture there. I apologize. "He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places." I think I read all that, didn't I? Sometimes I get ahead of myself when I do the book of Ephesians. We can see, what does this all boil down to? There's healing in what? In Jesus' name. "That even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. His great love, wherewith He loved us. He has quickened us, and we were dead in trespasses and sins. We all had our conversation. We were all that same way. We all had our conversation times past in the lusts of our flesh. We were all that way, every single one of us. But then in His infinite wisdom, in His mercy, in His grace, He came unto you. He came unto you and said, now is the time. Now is the time. You knew you felt it here, didn't you? And that's when you sat there and you said, you know what? He speaks to our heart. And we can feel it in our heart because what? He's taken away that old heart and He's given us a new heart. Because Brother Leroy talked about spiritual. That old heart that we had, it was that heart of stone. It could not receive the spiritual things. Remember, he says, that circumcision is not of the flesh, but what? It's of the heart. And He's given us a new heart. And with that heart, that new heart, we can now receive the spiritual things. And we can enjoy those spiritual things. So we couldn't enjoy that before. Now we can enjoy the full blessedness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We understand what He did upon the cross for each and every one of us. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God was showing in all these ages to come, through the riches of His grace, His kindness toward each and every one of us through what Jesus Christ did upon the cross for us. Because without that, without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would all be for nothing. You had to have all three of them. You take anything out of there, and it's like if you take a math formula. If you take one part out of there, you don't get to the answer, do you? If you take something out of that, then what Jesus Christ did was for nothing. If you have the death and the burial and you don't have the resurrection, the Bible is very plain. Your faith is empty, is vain. You are yet dead in your sins. Closing, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is healing in Jesus' name. Jesus is the only one that can heal us. Nobody else can. You can go to all the doctors you want to, like that woman did, and you're not going to find healing. Not at all. You can have all the money in the world. You can have a Visa Platinum card. You can have an American Express card. You can have all the money in the world, and that can't get you the healing. It can't get you the healing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls us unto Him, Brother Roger. He calls us unto Him. It's free. It's free grace. It's the free gift of God bestowed upon them that love Him. That love Him. And it's like that one brother sat there and he says, we have a cause and effect. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. It's the only reason why we love Him. I thank you for your kind attention this afternoon.